Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Today, we're going to talk about the seven keys to an ultra-effective advisor website design. Now, there's a lot of things that Kirk's going to cover today. We're going to tell some stories. We're going to give you some good examples. But having an ultra-effective website is so vital today to make sure that you're getting good search engine optimization. And when people are trying to vet you, you have the right information there at their fingertips in an easily digestible way. And Kirk Lowe and Tactibrand does a great job of helping flesh some of this stuff out. But so we're going to go over these 7 points today, Kirk. So what? Tell us what point number one is, because I actually believe that this is probably the most important.
I'm going to reiterate what you just said then before I jump into one, which is that the website is so important. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely critical to advisor marketing, to anybody's marketing these days, but in particularly you, because you're a services professional expected to have a ton of expertise and you're expected to share that expertise. And if you don't get that, this may be a difficult, session to listen through a podcast. Okay. So I like to refer to a website as the hub of all your marketing. It's not social media. It's not doing this podcast. It's not even your brand. The hub is where everything comes and goes to, and your website is critical to do well. And there are a few template type companies that can do it. There are plenty of custom people that can do a crappy job too, but you got to really search and find the right people to serve you. So we're going to jump into the number one effective advisor website design element, and that is having an intriguing statement. Brand. Hard to believe I'm talking about brand again. If you can't say something really smart and really interesting that resonates with the people that you want to do business with, and that's not top, front and center, you're off to a bad start.
Right.
Right. You've got to figure that part out. Maybe we can get into some examples of that. A good one is a company that we worked with in Silicon Valley. Mm-hmm. I'm just typing it up here.
Yeah. Which is betterwealth.us, right? Betterwealth.
Yep. And the first thing that we say on his site, I think we may have changed it. We're building a new website for him right now. This is another thing. We started off with a one-page site. Mm-hmm. His budget was a little bit smaller. He was shifting from one advisor practice to starting his own. Mm-hmm. He was really smart. Said, you know what? This is what I can afford right now. Mm-hmm. Let's keep it simple until I learn, until I get my feet under me, get my new office space design, blah, blah, blah. So that's what we did. Built a one-page site. It had about 6 or 7 sections. Scrolling menu at the top. So you would just click it and it would scroll down to that section. Really simple, affordable, worked really well. So what does it say on his site? It says, why BetterWealth? Big That's letters. Right. So you're on track, in control, and achieving what matters. Like, we make a statement right out of the gate. And then his tagline on his logo says enlightened discipline. Mm-hmm. Everything for him is about making sure people understand the disciplines that needed to be successful in pursuing better wealth.
And from a branding perspective, what he wants, right, is he wants people who that resonates with. That message, if that calls out to you, then you're going to give him a call, right? And it's also the other super awesome thing about the Better Wealth website is the contact information's right there. It's really easy right on that homepage to find out how you can get in touch with people. It drives me crazy when you've got to click 95 times before, you can get the darn phone number.
Yeah, that's why a homepage that starts with an intriguing message is so important, because you want people to start scrolling. You want them to say, that sounds different/better. That's relevant to me. Like, I always feel like I'm not in control. I don't feel like I'm achieving what matters. There's a lot of, things in there. that you would hope would make them think a little bit differently. I've got another example here, 50wealth.com, another site and brand we built. Mm-hmm. What does it read on the page? It's got a big, beautiful picture of a couple driving down the highway, convertible, sunshine. I don't always do these pictures a lot, but it was just really perfect for this brand. And it says, embrace wealth planning while you're in your 50s. And then it says underneath that, when people plan ahead, they get to enjoy choice and avoid trade-offs. We refer to this as your financial planning best before date. Mm-hmm. It's better to plan with possibilities rather than just probabilities.
And so, when he's communicating that message, the last statement you just said, possibilities instead of probabilities, the great thing about 50 Wealth is, and he does podcasts, he's got some great white papers out there. These are great examples, and we'll make sure they're in the show notes. But he's always bringing that up. Right. So part of his brand depth, which is number two, is his message is pervasive through the entire, not just website, but how he communicates with his clients and with his audience.
Yep. And so if you come to the site and you're in your 50s, which you probably were when you decided to click here, go here in the first place, if that doesn't resonate with you, you got something wrong. Like you wouldn't come here. I mean, that's a pretty interesting statement. And it doesn't say, hey, we're certified financial planners. We offer comprehensive services. You can trust us. You know, we have your best interests at heart. It gets right to the point of what we do and why you should care. Because if you don't hit your financial planning best before date, what does that mean? It means you have a lot less choices when you're 60s. You know, you're planning with probabilities, not possibilities. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty emotionally driven thing, but they don't go take this big fear tactic, or I should say we didn't take a big fear tactic in building it. And then, so that's, you got to have a message that really grabs people. I can go on and on with examples, but that's good for now because you're always, after me to stop talking so much and keep these short.
So we've gone through the intriguing statement, right, which we just showed you two examples. And actually, we already got into brand depth because of 50 Wealth specifically. And what you like to talk about when it comes to brand depth, and by the way, there's all sorts of stuff on KirkLowe.com, Tactibrand, Financial Marketing University, all sorts of stuff over LinkedIn that Kirk has written over the years. But if you don't have a niche, then you're never going to be able to have the right brand depth. You have to communicate to a specific audience. So let's talk about that a little bit, Kirk.
Yeah. So, I mean, it used to be that when websites came out in maybe the first 10, 15 years, you could have a website. That was a thing to have a website. It was like, oh, that's great. You could just talk about your business and, kind of have, call me, contact us. Whatever. It was pretty simple. I mean, it's, we've come so far from that being acceptable as, website and the hub of all your marketing, right? So if you make an intriguing statement and you kind of end there and you don't prove it and you expect people to take some giant leap forward or for that to fulfill the credibility that you need to start building a relationship, then they ain't going to happen. And most financial advisor websites are land right here. Don't have an intriguing statement and don't have the depth. And these are probably two of the most important things that you need. That's why they're number one and two. This is a tilted list, at least the first two. So the idea of brand depth is that if you go and you read that intriguing statement, but there's nothing else to prove it, mm-hmm. So prove to me that you really care about working with people in their 50s, or is this just a gimmick?
Okay, well, explain that.
So about guys like me, right?
Right.
I can write marketing copy.
Sure.
I can make anybody sound good. Even if they have a bad practice, I can do something that makes them sound good. And not that I'm a deceitful marketer. I'm not into that. I usually attract really incredible advisors, so I don't have to lose sleep at night with a bad marketing conscience. But people know that words, marketing copy isn't really the truth. You don't believe everything you read on the internet, do you?
Well, no, but that's why you have to have a tiered approach, right? I mean, I think that's why when it's talking about brand depth here, and if you're going to be in the niche, explain to our listeners what they need to do to create that depth, because it can't just be a trite statement on the homepage of your website. You have to produce other stuff in order to resonate, because again, everybody learns differently. Everybody absorbs information differently. So you have to hit them from a lot of different ways, don't you?
Absolutely. So when it comes to brand up, there are a lot of ways to fulfill this. Basically what you're doing is you're saying, I'm a credible professional. I'm an expert. I understand this niche. I understand you and your needs. I understand how to deliver solutions. These are the types of solutions I would consider. These are the things you have to look out for. Here's a checklist. Here's a paper. Here's a video. Here's a podcast. Here's my blog. Here's my articles. Here's an infographic. You get the picture. If you can't produce expertise that proves that you understand your audience, that you understand your whatever your service model is, whatever your specific service services are, then people aren't going to believe you. You're not believable. You haven't established trust, and brand depth does that. That's why, you know, on every, you know, tact brand driven financial advisor website or design site, we focus a lot on brand depth. And brand depth comes in, you know, it could be even you just doing a webinar. Mm-hmm. You have to get out there and say, I'm the expert, and prove it. Mm-hmm. And this is an incredible process for advisors to go through, the branding process and the brand depth process. It makes you look at your business. It helps you focus, you know, focus on the stuff you're really good at. How many financial advisors sell insurance because they can, and they don't want to give up the revenue, but they're really not that good at insurance. Mm-hmm. Like they could write two articles on insurance, but no more. Mm-hmm. If that's you, stop selling insurance. Mm-hmm. Find a relationship with somebody who brings a ton of value to your clients in your office, and give that stuff up. You'll be way more successful. Spend your time writing papers on whatever it is that you do better.
I have a great story for you. So I started working with this advisor out in LA, and after we went through his book of business, his favorite clients happened to be young attorneys. So in learning from you for all of this time that we've been working together, I walked him through, well, one of your brand guides. So that's free on Tact to Brand, and I know Kirklow.com, you can download a couple of your different white papers on branding. So I started walking him through it. And so what we ended up doing was he went and interviewed a whole bunch of non-partner attorneys to find out what their language was and what their biggest pain points were. Then we took that, we created a video. It's a short video, lots of infographics, not a lot of him, you know, a lot of interactive stuff. And then he ended up writing a white paper. Now he can go back to the 20 different attorneys that he's interviewed with an awesome video, a landing page that speaks specifically right to attorneys, and also when they land on that page, is a video that uses their language to tell them exactly what he does for them. And Kirk, I learned that from you from going through all of the stuff that we've gone over through for the last couple of years, and he says to me all the time, I had no idea what I wanted to be when I grew up as an advisor. And because I've gone through this very in-depth brand process, it has allowed me to really figure out who I am and how I can be that niche advisor, that advisor that's going to help these people who I really like already and I'm passionate about helping. But we need to move off brand depth, because you and I are going to talk about this all day long. We need to talk about, how do we take this website and start having clients interact with the website so that we can get business from it, which is number three, which is tiered engagement to start client experience. So explain what that means, please.
So when you're marketing, one of the things that you want to do is you want to have people start to experience. You want them to click through pages. You want them to sign up for stuff. You want them to download stuff. You want them to watch videos, read. You got to engage them. And when you engage them, they start to experience you and start to, that's where a ton of trust is. And some of it is just, I really like what I saw. And some of it is, I trusted that I was going to get good content when I hit this download. I did. So you're building trust. And the thing is to remember here is you have to do this properly. You have to have what I call tiered engagement. So you can't have high level commitment experience or engagement stuff on your site, because this the step from it's if it's too big a step to say yes or yeah, you know what, I've got a minute here, I'll invest, you know, I don't want to invest in that click because that click looks like it's going to take me 5 minutes. So you want to make it easy for people to say yes to something. So those are what I call tier one engagement. So that might be signing up for a blog, reading a newsletter, downloading a paper, you know, some really easy stuff. Then tier two, I should finish my list here. Watch video, listen to a podcast, connect with you socially. I'll connect socially could be tier two. Anyway, tier two is where you start, you know, getting them a little bit more engaged. And maybe that's where they take a video course or register for a webinar. It's something that's a little bit more of a commitment. And then tier three is when you want to get them in front of you. Maybe it's a virtual meeting. Maybe it's meeting with them at a local coffee place for a coffee and just talking. How do you make it? And I say that one because that's a lot less of a commitment in their mind than going to your office and feeling like
– yeah, high pressure sales.
Yeah, your show is going to be – you know, they're going to walk in and the show is going to start and they're going to – feel some sense of obligation, and some people just don't want to feel like that this early in a relationship, right? So those tiered engagements are absolutely critical. You got to make sure you have lots of tier ones, but you want to escalate them too. It's better to have more tier ones than to worry about the rest, because some of those ones are self-identifiable. Like they, you know, if somebody really likes your paper and your video and your podcast and they connect with you socially, And they decide, you know what, I got to work with this guy. They're not going to your site looking for the next level of engagement. They're just going to go to the contact page and call you, right? Mm-hmm. So tier one is the most important.
Advisors think that marketing is sales. And I say this all the time, and it drives me utterly insane, that they think that they can put out a piece of thought leadership, a great video, or they'll do a webinar, and they think, man, kerblammy, they're going to close business. Guys, you have to remember that you have to date these people. And that's part of what the website's going to be. It is a nice... it's a screen. It's a barrier between you and these potential clients that if they get comfortable, that barrier starts getting less and less with these three tiers like Kirk is talking about. Now, number four happens to be my largest pet peeve, which is referred to as responsive design. And you say mobile centric. If I have to go on your website and I have to use my fingers and zoom in and out to just read anything, I'm not going to do business with you. And so that's very, very, very frustrating to me.
Harsh. You are harsh.
I am harsh, dude, because come on, get into the, and in fact,
people are harsh. Yeah.
Well, Google is actually going to start punting you to later pages if you don't have a responsive design.
Yeah. It's, if you haven't figured that out, I mean, I think it's 50% of all websites are being viewed now in mobile devices. You got to make it happen.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, mobile responsive is kind of the industry standard versus building it. You know, it used to be you'd build and own two separate sites and one would be a mobile site. You don't need to do that anymore, which is good because it saves a lot of time and energy and money for advisors. But whoever you're working with, just absolutely make sure it's mobile responsive. Most people are doing it these days, but it's still really important to ask.
All right.
I got a tip.
Oh, okay.
What you guys don't know is when we're doing the podcast, we don't always do video, but we're sharing video today. And Matt talks with his hands. And I just want to give you a tip, man. Make sure you lock your door, because if one of your family came in, you like might karate chop them and get arrested for manslaughter.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. I do move quickly. Yeah. We don't always have the video on, but I like looking at the shine off of your head, and I'm sure you don't mind mine either. So, I get excited about this stuff. And the reason why is because this is the number one thing that most advisors fail miserably at. This is the number one reason why they hire me. This is the number one reason, because this is what you do for a living. But I just got off the phone with a gentleman yesterday who just became a client. He's in Atlanta. He says to me, I don't even know how to market. I don't even know where to begin. I can't afford, you know, to hire a huge marketing agency. What can you do to help me? And I'm like, well, luckily I've been learning from this guy. I can provide you with some good service. And hopefully as he continues to grow, then he'll step up the marketing chain. But so far, let's go ahead and review very quickly. We've talked about having an intriguing statement right when they land on your website. Number two, brand depth. Make sure you have supporting documentation throughout the website to support your thought leadership as a niche guy. You're that person. Number three, a tiered engagement to start client experience. You're going to break down those barriers on the website by having good information, good opportunity for them to engage with you. It has to be mobile centric or it has to be responsive. And number five, if you go to the 50 Wealth site, Kirk already brought this up with the two people driving in the convertible, but let's talk about graphics.
Yeah. So you have to have meaningful graphics, where it makes sense. So, sometimes I'd say more often than not, I like to have what I call background imagery. I like to set a tone that's kind of sets the cultural or atmosphere, be like akin to coming into a room and have we dimmed the lights or is it bright? Is there plant? Like what's the setting? What's the vibe? So sometimes I like to think of the initial photo on a page as kind of setting the tone, the vibe for the, how you want them to experience your site. And sometimes I use like a blurred out office with like a plant there. And so you can't really make out everything because sometimes people get lost in the detail. Mm-hmm. So if you have a picture that you're trying to be, you know, the more you push a picture to try to say something and match what you're saying, I find that's just a big waste of time. It's really hard to find those pictures. And then you seem to be stuck with one line of picture. And I've been down those roads. I mean, I've been doing this for 17 years and had, you know, changing opinions on imagery. But what I like right now is try to use background imagery that sets the tone. Let me give you an example. Accounting firm that working with in Silicon Valley, they are a lot of young accountants, really high energy, big technology people. And their clients are going to be, you know, probably 30 to 50 year olds, maybe even 30 to 45 year olds. So what do we have? We have this idea that they all work together to help their clients and they've got this real team oriented. So what did was we didn't want to have a regular boardroom. So we have a harvest table boardroom and a top down shot. And we just had they just hired a photographer to come in and, you know, put up a big ladder and took a shot down, you know, and I made sure they hit their logo and some other, you know, some stuff on the table that would be like if they were a meeting talking about a client, right? Mm-hmm. Notepads and other stuff. And so that's the theme. So the idea is we're not going to have pictures of their, I think that at least we're not going to have pictures of their faces and everything. Say, oh, who's that? It's just going to be, it's kind of set the tone with this really beautiful harvest table. People, when they go into the office, are going to realize, hey, that's your harvest mm-hmm. table. Hey, we had a photographer come take that. It's going to say a lot about them, attention to detail, commitment to professionalism, those kinds of things. Like your marketing speaks volumes about you, right? Mm-hmm. If you got a template website that looks like everybody else's, what's it going to be like working with you?
Like a template? You're going to be just like every other advisor.
You're going to do the same investment management every other advisor mm-hmm. does. You're going to do the same strategies everybody talks mm-hmm. about. Are you going to be, you know, fighting for leading edge? And I mean, it says a ton about you. So that's those background images. I like to start off. I really like those. There's like, you can get vector images where you do like lens flares or have like patterns and stuff. As long as they're subtle, those really work in behind text or imagery. Like, you know, we do a fair amount of icon usage to kind of visually connect somebody with a mm-hmm. concept mm-hmm. Without just reading the word, which can be really powerful, but you can't have too many icons. So you got to pick and choose what you're going to connect an icon with in your site. Purpose-driven photo. You know, I talked about this earlier. You can really get caught up in it because stock photography, I mean, there's millions of pictures out there. Mm-hmm. They can be expensive and the better they are, the more expensive they are. I will tell you this, never, ever, ever get a piece of imagery off of Google Images that you don't have right to use because, I mean, in most Getty Images, for instance, they will hunt you down and they are relentless. You do, you know, it's illegal for starters, but do not do that ever. And make sure that whoever's designing stuff for you uses the proper imagery because Getty won't come after the
right, they're going to come after you.
Come after you.
Yep.
And I learned this the hard way because early on in my career, I feel very confident that we paid for an image. And I knew where but I had changed different and I couldn't prove it. Mm-hmm. And Getty went after my client and it was a pain in the butt. I'm just being honest. You know, that happened like 12 years ago, mm-hmm. maybe even longer. And it was a good learning experience when I was starting out in this company. Anyhow, so meaningful graphics, don't get too caught up in purpose. If it's really, really important, you better have a really good reason for spending a lot of resources trying to find the absolutely perfect picture. Mm-hmm. So I try to stay away from that. But some cases, you can really find a great photo. So that photo on the 50wealth.com website, that's a little more purpose-driven because it's them enjoying their life.
Sure.
And they've done the planning in their 50s to be able to afford that. They don't have worries. So, yeah, that's kind of a little bit more common, but I think it really set the tone for that site, and I thought it was appropriate. So we spent a little bit more time doing that one than maybe we did picking the boardroom table one or the office, blurted office with the green plant kind of focus.
So so it's good to have those sort of meaningful graphics, and because you're trying to communicate not necessarily the purpose, but you're trying to communicate a feel, right? But also when people get – after they Google you and you come up within that first page, number six I think is – I don't think people put enough clout into it. So let's talk about how you make your homepage sticky.
So to make it sticky, you've got to quickly capture their interest in different areas. So good websites these days have about, let's say, 4 to 8 sections on a homepage. Not many get to 8, but so let's say 4 to 6 is a good barometer or a good goal. And what you want to do is you want to be able to give them a little bit about what you think are the highlights of your marketing. So if you want to start with, here's my intriguing statement, nothing else, big, beautiful picture that kind of sets the tone. Then the next section might say, okay, here's our podcast, because you're really big on podcasting. Here's our latest three episodes. And that kind of says, wow, these guys have their own podcast. That's pretty cool. Then below that, maybe you define the first 5 questions that you might ask them in a meeting. And they think, wow, this is really simple. When I meet with advisors, they seem to be all over the place with questions. Or they start off with something like, what's important about money to you? Well, helping my kids have a better future. What's important about your kids having a better future? The back rack, what's important about money statement. Right. I mean, some guys are brilliant at running that. Other people, it sounds so canned. So this gives them an idea of what the questions are going to be. Maybe below that, you have a video series, or maybe you talk a little bit about the three core services you offer. So give them a taste of all the highlights of your firm, what you're great at, who you work for, what you do for them, what it might be like to work with you. Share some of your expertise, and maybe the fourth thing down is a white paper. So when you start to do that, you start to create you significantly increase the chances of them scrolling down and connecting with you some way, shape, or form. Uh-huh. And maybe you have a big section, you do a lot of social media, and you have big, big icons for them to connect with you socially, or you've got a whole bunch more resources, and you've got, here's, examples of 5 different, resources we have in our resource library, and those, having those be really meaningful things. I will say this, the more authentic content you have, the more authentic your homepage is, stuff that you've done, the better it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You also want to tier your homepage. So have some, you want to have mostly tier one stuff, but at the very bottom, I've been doing this a lot lately, have a, ask Matt Halloran section,
mm-hmm.
Ask Kirk, let's get personal, or ask our team, ask our, give them a chance. Even if nobody ever fills that out, it sets a really friendly tone to your site, right? Like, go ahead, ask us a question. We'll answer.
Sure.
We'll get back to you within 48 hours. And we'll try to help make your financial life a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do a good job on your site, and that you've set the tone, you've got that, you've got that harvest table kind of feel. It's okay, that's kind of trusty, that's warm. They talk about a coffee session down here. They got lots of papers, and they're giving away. You know what? If I ask them a question, I bet they're going to answer me.
Mm-hmm.
I bet they're not going to sit there and sell me, because I don't see this as a salesy kind of site at all. When you set the tone, you're setting your business up for success. And marketing is a journey, marathon, if you will. It's definitely not a sprint, but most marketing that financial advisors have really embraced a lot of the times has been sprint marketing.
Right.
Let's do a seminar. Let's get them in there. Let's get them closed right away. Let's hire a telemarketer. Let's get them in the office right away. Marketing doesn't work like that anymore. Content marketing is a long, intimate process, and you got to work your butt off to do it well.
Right.
You don't have to spend a fortune, but you have to work hard and write, you know, produce content and things like that.
So we've been talking about the seven keys to an ultra effective advisor website design. And we talked, first one was intriguing statement, second brand depth, third tiered engagement to start the client experience. Number four, being mobile centric or responsive. Five, meaningful graphics. Six, having a really sticky homepage. And then we already alluded to this earlier, which is number seven, which is easy contact. So now, Kirk, do you like it when people have pop-ups that come up and say, contact us, or do you want it to be more passive?
I like whatever suits how you want to market, but I definitely like pop-ups. I've not used them a lot, but I like them. I know that sounds kind of weird, but it depends on how much value. The more value there is on your site, then I think people are way more willing to accept those because they know you've been really giving and forward. So they're more accepting of those. If your site doesn't have much on it, then it looks like you're just pushing the sale mm-hmm. really early on, right? Mm-hmm. So you can have, you know, easy contact. Make sure your phone number is in your, what I call your banner navigation. Mm-hmm. So it would hang from the top of your site. So you've got your main navigation and then what I call a banner navigation. The banner navigation hangs from the top.
It's like
make
fixed,
sure your phone number right. is really easy to get to.
Right.
Like don't say contact us and make them click. If right. they want to call you, just put it right there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Then make sure you always have a contact us page up there too.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere on your site, have a let's talk or a get started button.
Mm-hmm.
Get started would be, you know, I've been, you know, we have papers, we have a blog, we have webinars, we have in, you know, lunch and learn sessions, like tell people all the different ways that they can start to engage you. And summarize them on a page.
Mm-hmm.
Like how interesting is that? Like, you know, they're going to think, geez, these guys just made it really easy for me to understand how I can start learning more about them. I wonder what it's going to be like to work with them. Mm-hmm. They're probably going to be the same way with financial planning, right? So the getting started page or let's talk could be like a feature, but the getting started page, I think those are a pretty neat way to let people experience you. Because if you dump your stuff all over the place, maybe they can't put it all into context. So if you give them, you know, put all your brand depth on one page, I think that's pretty powerful.
Well,
those are a couple of good ideas.
Right. Look at the user interface, the UI, right, or the GUI, right? So how do you hand your website to somebody and ask them to navigate and tell them what, you know, say, hey, what do you think? A lot of that feedback can really make a humongous difference in how people are going to interact, because we can sit here as marketing professionals, or you can as a financial services professional, and think everything's great. But if you don't test it, then I think you're really truly missing a lot of mark. All right. So Kirk, closing statements, what else do you want to say about the seven keys to an ultra effective advisor website?
Use this like a checklist. Go to your website right now and think about whether or not you've done all these seven things effectively.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't, go back to the company or the marketing person or wherever in your team or outsourced and figure out how, if you can modify what's there or if you need to start from scratch. Hopefully, some, you know, in the short term, you can just do some modifications. Mm-hmm. Long term, you're probably going to want to look at it starting over. I mean, most financial advisor websites I see, they're in start over mode, to be quite honest.
Right.
But maybe you can plug some holes in the time being to make the most out of it. And look for vendors that have modular opportunities. So what you don't want to do if somebody just has a whole bunch of templates, but within those templates, there's not much modular ability. So, hey, look, if I want to put a paper in, can I put a paper? Can I bring in my latest, you know, podcast or blog post?
Right.
And if they can't accommodate that stuff, I would keep looking.
Sure.
Because the more template cookie cutter it is, that means their technology is really old.
Because mm-hmm.
these days websites are incredibly modular. So if they can't handle modular, that means their code is really old and they're not going to be updating it, because it'll be millions of dollars to go rewrite the code. Maybe not millions, but
a lot.
it'll be a lot.
Right.
So, you know, and some of these website companies have been around for 10, 15 years, and the code and the platforms they were built on, they're really struggling to meet the demands of what websites have become. So look for newer ones. One that we're talking to right now that I'm really liking is 20over10.com. So they're a good one to go look at. Advisor websites are another good one too. I know both of them have just made some huge improvements to their stuff. Mm-hmm. And I've been going over it with them, and I like both those guys a lot.
And if you want to find one, or if you want to get an example of somebody who actually built theirs on their own from Wix, which is a WordPress-based website, go to kirschwealth.com. It's unbelievable what this guy did. Now, mind you, he's very tech savvy, but you know, so some of the websites that we're going to put in the show notes today, you know, have cost a halfway decent amount of money. And I just wanted to give, the other end of the spectrum, which would be free. So thank you all for listening to us once again. We just covered the 7 keys to an ultra effective advisor website design. Kirk, thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Matt.
Yep, and we will see you guys on the other side of the mic.